Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we might have receptive hearts and ears, and we might apply what we learn to our lives. And Lord, we just thank you for you've not left us in the dark, but you've given us instructions on how we are to live and how we are to use our tongues. We praise you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief, make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. I am gossip. Today we're going to be looking at the subject, do you hear about or did you hear about gossip? This is the first time I have ever in my ministry preached about gossip. And so it was a challenge. You know why? Because it was convicting. And because I really had a lot of research to do. There's not just one passage of Scripture that you can go to and say, here is the gun, let's go for it. There's a lot of Scripture that deals with it and hints at it and indirectly deals with it. And so it has been a tremendous challenge. But I hope that we can all glean something very positive from this time together. Help me out just a moment. Let's review. We've been talking about communication. The first week we talked about the rules of communication. Do you know what the first rule is? Help me out, please. Be honest. All right, good. Do not speak lies. Be honest with one another, whatever relationship that is. Second, keep current. Keep current. Don't let a long period of time go on before you talk and deal with things. Deal with it right away. Keep current. Third, attack the problem, not the person, all right? So when you have a problem in your marriage or in your relationships with one another, look at it as the problem and don't attack one another. Attack the problem and get to the solution. And then the last one, blank, don't react. Act, don't react. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it gives us specific instructions on how we are to act and how we're to not react out of anger and malice and wrath and all of that. We talked about the next week, we talked about listening from James chapter 1. We are to be quick to hear or listen. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Yes, so that's an important thing. We also looked at the danger and the destructive power of the tongue from chapter 3 of James. The book of James deals with all kinds of aspects of the tongue. It likens it to, what are some illustrations of the tongue? We looked at, there's about 6 illustrations. What is that? A bridle on a horse. That it's little like the bridle on a horse, but it can control a whole horse. And just someone that's small, tiny, not very heavy, can direct that large horse through the bridle. It's like a tongue. What else? What's that? Okay, a rudder on a ship. Small rudder directing a large ship. What else? A spark. A little spark can do great damage. Remember Smokey the Bear? You know? And just one little spark can cause forest fires and can bring about great destruction. What else? From nature. Besides the spark. The spring. And fresh water spring gives forth what? Fresh water. Okay? And then the grapevine gives off grapes. Fig trees give figs. And So out of the same mouth ought not to proceed cursing and blessing. The next picture really does depict what happens through gossip. We're going to be talking about that. If you notice, the very first lady up there in the top left, she spreads something and it comes back to her down at the bottom right. And it's kind of a fascinating picture that Norman Rockwell has painted. And all of a sudden, when it comes back to her, she's horrified that they found out. But gossip, it can happen not only through the phone or through speaking directly to one another, but it can happen through emails and internet and on it goes. We have all kinds of avenues and means to spread gossip today, so it can be an even greater problem. I think it's important that we recognize gossip for what it is. I'll give you the three main points, okay? For those of you that love to fill in those points so that you can get on and you can fill in some specifics. Number one, we need to recognize gossip for what it is. Number two, down a little later, we'll come back to the middle part there, right? Number two, we need to resist gossip. And then number three, we need to remedy gossip. Had to be three R's, right? Okay. So we need to remedy. We're using it in a little different way at this time. Let's go back though. We need to recognize gossip for what it is. I'd like to give some observations because, again, there's so much about gossip in the Word of God that I have to sort of give this kind of an overview of the in general. The word gossip, really, the actual word gossip only occurs about six times in the Bible. I believe once in the Old Testament and three to six times, depending on what word choice you use and what manuscripts you go with, in the New Testament. So about six or seven times. But there are a lot of cousins to gossip. There's a large family in the gossip family. Words like whisperer, okay, whisperer, or babbler, or giving it an evil report, speaking evil. All these words are used and really all kind of have hints and direct us in our understanding of gossip. Spreading rumors is another one. Tale bearer. Tale bearer. Idle talk. One of the Hebrew words that was used literally has the meaning of going about on foot with your tongue. Interesting kind of concept. You could almost picture a tongue walking around with feet. All right? It's the idea of strolling around with a morsel of information to tell. That's really what is behind that word. Another big word that occurs around 30 times in the Word of God is slander or slanderer. And it's the idea of speaking evil, but it's like gossip on steroids. Okay, if you could kind of picture it that way. If you were to imagine a battle scene, gossip is like the sniper from far distance. Slander is the bazooka up close, or whatever you want to, the shotgun up close. And it just lays into you, and it just lets it all hang out, and it doesn't matter. Just evil spewed out from close range. That's slander. But gossip is sniping, and usually from behind the back, and you usually can't tell where it's coming from and from whom. The word slander, in all of its various forms, again, occurs about 30 times. The idea is rumor or evil report. In both cases, in gossip as well as slander, it's sin. It's just flat out, that's what it is. We need to call it for what it is. And again, the humbling thing about this is, when you start seeing the definition of it, you realize, wow, all of us have problems with this. God said, don't do it. In fact, the Bible says, one who slanders is a fool. That's pretty clear that God doesn't like that. It's always bad. There is never a good sense in which gossip is appropriate. It's never. Or slander, or whispering, or whatever. In church, it's probably the only time it's appropriate to whisper, okay? But whispering outside about someone else is not. It starts in the heart. And we're going to look at that in a little bit as well. For the believer, it must not be tolerated. It must not be in our lives. Interestingly enough, two of the words that were used where the English is slander, when you start doing a word study and you come back to the Greek word, there are two words especially that I want to highlight that are usually only seen as slander in the English. But I'm going to actually speak these two words, and I'm going to tell you the Greek word, and you're going to be able to tell immediately what that word is. Blasphemia. What is that? Blasphemy. That's actually a word, a Greek word for slander. Another one, here's another one. Diabolos. Diabolos. What's that? Devil. Devil. Most of the time it's used to refer to the devil, but there are about three uses where it specifically is referring to slander or gossip. I find that interesting. I think it shows a little bit of its origin as we think about gossip and slander. It is not from God. It is from Satan. In fact, even the word itself, gossip, it has the idea of the snake, the serpent, the devil behind it. Interestingly enough, leadership, those in leadership, and in particular, it zeroes in on deacons' wives, older women, and widows as being commanded to not be appropriate, not be gossiping. I am sure if there was another book in the Bible, it would be addressing pastors and all the rest of us as it relates to slander and not doing it. 2 Timothy 3:3, we don't need to turn to it this morning, but in the last days, as we're approaching the last days, one of the things that we're going to see more and more is that of gossip and slander. Paul feared, here's again some more observations, okay? I think it's really important to get these ideas. Paul feared in 2 Corinthians that he would come and find the believers in Corinth practicing gossip. And he said, that's what I fear. I don't want to come and find that to be evidence, so don't do it, is the idea. It is characteristic of people who have rejected God and gone on their way. In fact, Romans 1, we're going to look at it in just a moment. But it's the idea when a person leaves God out of their lives, they start worshiping the creation and not the Creator. And one of the evidences in the life of one who does that is gossip. It's never good, and it always disrupts unity and causes havoc. So I want you to get the big picture here. If you were to think about gossip and slander, I want you to always think about in terms of not being good. It's always bad. It is sin. We must recognize for what it is. It causes great harm. God hates it. It separates friends from one another. And it's characteristic of one who does not love God. Let's now look at some scripture. And I'm going to just kind of put it up on the screen. If you want to turn to in your Bible, you can, if you can't read it. But I want to really show you, again, just a glimpse of some really key passages that help us to understand how God views this whole concept. Proverbs 6 is that passage where it tells about several things that God hates. In fact, he goes on, in the proverb here, Solomon most likely says, these are six things that God hates, and seven are an absolute abomination to him. And I want you to count the number that have to do with the tongue. Now, I've made it easy for you. Okay? So how many? Three of the seven have to do with the tongue. I think there's something here about be careful, be on guard, hold your tongue, listen more than speaking. So here we are. Haughty eyes, pride. You would expect that to be right to head the list. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make swift to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. As I've read about gossip, really all three of those tongue-related problems have to do with, are a part of gossip. Usually lying or exaggeration of the truth is a part of gossiping. A false witness is often involved. And sowing discord for sure is a part of it. Gossip never brings unity. Never, ever. Romans chapter 1. This is the passage where, again, it talks about the sinfulness of man, and it talks about how we've left God out, and when we leave God out, here's what the result is. Verse 28. And since they, these ones that left God out of the picture and are worshiping the creation rather than the Creator, they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not be done. In other words, they've rejected God to the point where He says, okay, I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm going to let you go your own way. I'm going to give you over to the way you want to live. In verse 29, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. I find it interesting. Which one of those are you kind of surprised that would be in a list of horrendous sins along with murderers? What one do you find interesting? Disobedient to parents? Interestingly enough, that's also characteristic of the last days. We find children are more and more disobedient, disrespectful, dishonoring of their parents. But right in the heart of that list is gossips and slanderers. I mean, you don't hear people say, well, I just did a couple murders the other day. You know, or I just had a couple of adulterous relationships. Or on and on it could go. But again, we excuse gossip and we let it off the hook, whereas God does not. Next one, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. Chocolate-covered cherries. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Think of what you just are craving today for dessert. Strawberry cheesecake. You know, strawberry shortcake. Oh, wow. Steak, whatever. You think about whatever you like the most and already you're ready to go out. No, that's really the appeal of the whisperer. It's like craving after that chocolate, that taco, that nacho, that potato chip. Oh, we want it so bad, but this verse kind of reveals it goes in and really becomes a part, and it rests usually in the heart. Proverbs 26:20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Have you seen that to be the case? In your observation, in your friendships, have you noticed how gossip can absolutely destroy friends? And not just for a couple weeks or days, usually it's for life. Things that are said, if we don't have a forgiving heart, we can really hold it against others. It's a very dangerous and disastrous and devilish thing. Proverbs, a few more. Proverbs 11:13, just maybe jot down the references. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy keeps a thing covered. Proverbs 17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Proverbs 20:19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. James 3:8, we looked at that last week. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Matthew 12, I would like you to turn there for very quickly. Matthew chapter 12. An interesting passage of Scripture, and the context is really unique here, where the Lord Jesus had just healed a man. In fact, he was a demon-possessed man who couldn't see and couldn't hear. And the Lord Jesus came along, which you would expect, and he healed the man So not only has he had the demon removed from him, now he can see and he can hear. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees, what do? They start yakking. And they start pointing the finger and they said, this must be of Beelzebub. And Jesus goes on in the discussion and he tells them, you know, the devil would not cast out his own. And so he's making the point that he is not from the devil, he's from God, and he's casting out that which is devilish, the demons, from this man. And he goes on in this discussion then in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Wow, he pulled no punches. The Lord Jesus said right there, you brood of snakes, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of the good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account, notice very carefully, people will give account of every, what? Careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. A very scathing commentary on the use of the Pharisees in their words, but how it points to us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Another verse here, 1 Timothy 5:13. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going from house to house, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say. So let me define gossip. We put all these passages together, and I can't remember who gave it because I read so much this last week, and I'll try to find the source of this again. But I believe this is a very good definition of what a gossip is. And here's 3 points I'd like to give that put this definition together. And the first one, sinful gossip is bearing bad news. And by bad news, I mean it could be truth, or it could be exaggeration, or it could be error. But it's always bad. It's never good. It's never uplifting. It's never encouraging. It's never for the purpose of helping others. Second, sinful behavior is behind someone's back. Behind someone's back. Isn't it amazing that gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, and quickly spread? But worst of all, gossip is quickly believed. Before we move on to the next point, I do want to just bring out this. Before you listen to gossip, or if someone comes to you about with some morsel, some tasty morsel that would be appealing to the flesh, here are some questions that we need to ask. Now, this is pretty tough, but it helps us so that we stop gossip in its tracks. The first question we ought to ask when somebody's ready to share with us is, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? Is it so that we can all be involved in a solution? Here's another question. Where'd you get the information? Where's your source? Third, have you gone directly to that person yourself? Matthew chapter 18, we're going to talk about that next time. But have you gone to that person to really find out if that's the truth or if that's right, if that's not? Here's another question. Have you personally checked out the facts? Often gossip is based on hearsay or misinformation. Number 5, can I quote you? Wouldn't that be something? Somebody came and they're ready to share a prayer request. Hey, did you happen to hear about somebody? I just want you to pray about it. And then, you know, before they do, can I quote you? Can I write this down? Can I record you? That would probably stop a lot of things. But we have to be so, so careful. That often, if not, well, basically all the time, gossip is behind someone's back. Number 3, sinful behavior is out of a bad heart. I should say sinful gossip is probably the better word. Sinful behavior, but sinful gossip is what I should have put for both 2 and 3. You can count on it. It's an indication of the heart. If the tongue is a barometer of the heart, then it's showing that the heart is evil, that there's something not right. The condition is bad. There's crud, there's lava, there's junk in the heart. The next verse reminds us of that on the screen. I believe it's there. Yes, Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Again, saying what Matthew chapter 12 was talking about. When we listen to gossip, we give the devil a foothold in our lives. When we speak gossip, we're speaking as Satan wants us to speak. As the old saying goes, a gossiper is the devil's postman. It's never, never good. Number two, we need to resist. We need to resist gossip. Have you ever thought what a person's motivation is when gossip takes place? Why do we gossip? Again, it's indicating that the heart has a problem and there's things that have gone wrong or askew. I'd like to just give you a couple ideas. Jealousy. Maybe someone is in a place that we want or in a position that we admire or desire. Jealousy can be an awful motivation for us to spread rumors. Revenge. Boy, I want to get even. They did something to me. They overlooked me. They did something here. I'm going to get even. And the way I can get even is to spread something very deadly and dangerous and poisonous. How about this? I want to just be in the know. I want to know about everything. And I want to impress people with my knowledge. I want to let you know how much I know. And here's another one. I want to appear better than others. I don't know what the motivation is. Obviously, only the person does. But these are a few of the things that would motivate us to want to spread things that would destroy a person's reputation. Number three in our outlines. We need to remedy gossip. We need to remedy gossip. And I would have to say that this is probably the most effective verse I have found in my life as it relates to the tongue. The next verse on the screen. I encourage you to memorize it, to put it somewhere, post it somewhere. I'll tell you, it's kept me from saying a lot of terrible things. And when I've forgotten this verse, I've gone ahead and said it and then regretted it. Ephesians 4:29, let's read it together from the screen so we're all in the same version, all right? Let's read it together. Let no corrupt talk... Let me start off. I just blew it, all right, okay? Let's start off with a reference and then we'll go on, okay? Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I mean, what a remedy. If this verse was on our lips, it would change everything in our marriages and in all of our relationships. Let no corrupting, that word, put another word in there, that rotten. Let no rotten, smelly, stinky talk. I talked about, whenever you think in that word, think rotten fish. Think smelly garbage can. Whatever it is, think putrid. Let no rotten, smelly, stinky talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building others up. If every time I went to say something in the midst of the heat of the battle or in my discussions with someone, I had in mind, Lord, is this building my brother, my sister, my spouse, my children up? Or is it tearing them down? It would cause us to be cautious in what we say. Only what is good for building others up, that it may give what? Grace. Grace. God has extended grace to us, something we don't deserve. So when I talk in a way that's building you up, I'm extending grace. I'm saying, I want what's best for you. I'll do whatever I can to promote you and not myself. Remedy. I've put down a couple thoughts. Here's some ideas. We need to repent when we do it. Quickly go and tell someone, I have either spoke evil of you or ill of you. I had rotten, stinking talk in mind. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? Ask God to help you to tame your tongue. Don't use your tongue for rotten purposes. And don't listen to rotten talk. I want to give you an exercise right now. For the next minute, I want you to turn to the people on either side of you, and I want you to say something that is encouraging. Right now. Okay? I mean, if you got both sides you got to cover, we'll give you the time. All right? I want you to say something encouraging. All right? Jim, you're all... Yeah, okay. I hear a lot of whispering out there. No. Now, I want you to be honest. Was that encouraging what somebody said to you just now? Now, again, hopefully it was truthful. All right, that's the other part. So if you spoke falsehood, then you got to deal with that, okay? But you know what? It would change the atmosphere of our church and our families and everywhere if we are always looking to encourage someone in our life. Make it a habit. Make it a habit of saying something. In fact, I'm going to give you another assignment before you leave the church today. I want you to just look to encourage, to build up, to uplift someone. Many someones. That's okay. Because the reminder from Scripture is, in this next verse, which I showed last week, and I'll show it probably again in the weeks to come, is this. James 1:26. When we get a hold of this book, this verse, it's very convicting. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, if does not tame his tongue, does not keep it under control, he deceives his heart, and this person's religion is worthless. We think about, when we think of religion being worthless, we think of things like hypocrisy, doing some major sin that destroys the lives of people. But do we look at the tongue as being what could disqualify from us from merely being effective for anything or any good, or make our religion be called worthless? Let's read this next verse together. Like we concluded our last week, here's another prayer that we need to pray, and then we have a song in closing. Let's read it together. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. If you can't say anything nice, don't say it at all. My mom used that. That's just a theme that I heard all the time. Build one another up. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to use our tongues wisely. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.